If you want to know what's happening in the Middle East and the dangers that are blowing up over in North Africa, a few better people you can talk to than our next guest. He's a former Deputy Secretary of Defense, spent the bulk of his life and professional career focusing on that region. He is now a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and he wrote a great column recently just about with the on the eve of Mrs. Clinton, the soon-to-be former Secretary of State, testifying about what went wrong in Libya and where the arms were that helped the rebels oust Gaddafi. Secretary Wolfowitz, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
Well, first off, you know the danger of that area. If you look at what we're looking at in Mali and the current state of Libya, do you believe the danger is as great now as it was prior to 2001?
Yes, I do. Excuse me. But, you know, what I think is even more dangerous than what Mrs. Clinton got away with not having to talk about at all is we've basically left Syria to become a terribly dangerous place, because we've talked a lot about how Assad has to go, but we've done absolutely nothing to help the people who are fighting him. And the result is that the same extremists that are causing trouble for us in Libya are going to cause much, much bigger trouble for us in Syria.
I mean, it's hard. We're very late in picking out a portion of the rebels in which we can support. But Secretary Wolfowitz, when you look at the options that we had, there's a lot of Islamic extremists fighting against a guy we have been an enemy to our country. Are there any winners to pick?
I'm sure there would have been if we had been in there when we should have been in there. I mean, what we did, unfortunately, instead, was to hand the job over to Qatar, this small Persian Gulf state, which, frankly, tends to prefer Islamists. And that's the result we got in Libya, and we're getting a worse result in Syria.
What would you think the right action would have been? For example, the appetite in America after Iraq and Afghanistan is not to start be on the ground again. What do you think?
There was no need to be on the ground.
How would we do it?
You train and equip and organize people whose objectives are sympathetic to ours, and you exclude people who have these obvious anti-American agendas.
And that would have been something you could only do by maybe putting some – you having an idea who we're dealing with. How do you weave through and weave your way through the group that's trying to oust Assad? Is that possible? Do you use the CIA for something like that?
I think the CIA is a mistake. I think it's much better if you do it out in the open. The U.S. military has enormous capability for training people, and when it's known who you're working with, you'll find out a lot more about who they are and who their backgrounds are. The problem is, when you outsource it to a country like Qatar, you're guaranteed that they're going to pick the wrong people, because those are the people they like.
They're in their best interest. I want you to hear what Rand Paul said in his question to Hillary Clinton, and I want to know what you think is behind it.
Now, my question is the U.S. involved with any procuring of weapons, transfer of weapons, buying, selling, anyhow transferring weapons to Turkey out of Libya?
To Turkey? I will have to take that question for the record. Nobody's ever raised that with me.
What is he getting at?
Well, I'll tell you what he's getting at, but first let me just say how astonishing it is that she had not heard of this story that the mission in Benghazi was shipping arms to Syria. The idea presumably was they wanted arms that weren't conspicuously identifiable as American, so they were using Gaddafi's old weapons, if that's true. And she seemed blissfully unaware of what that mission was in the first place, which is really quite strange. I think what Senator Paul was getting at was the question is the CIA via Turkey or some other country covertly supplying rebel groups in Libya? And we don't have the answer to that. That's a reason why I believe we should do this sort of thing out in the open rather than do it in so-called covert and deniable fashion. It doesn't work well that way.
Paul Wolfowitz, our guest. Secretary, so we have a situation where Mubarak was a good friend to the U.S., but evidently not a good leader for the Egyptian people. So they oust him, and we have an opportunity there to get some democracy in the area. What do you think we ended up with?
End ground up is too strong a word. That process is still going on. I'm hearing about big protests in Cairo today. I'm not sure whether the protesters are objecting to the Muslim Brotherhood or the military, or maybe they're even more extreme than the government that's there. But I don't want to sound overly optimistic. What we have there now is a very bad situation with a government that's dominated by Islamists. But it takes a long time for these things to work out. The point that people miss is that Mubarak and his regime were not going to survive, no matter what we did. And the mistake, I believe, goes back a long way when we did virtually nothing. And this actually includes the Bush administration as well as certainly the Obama administration. We did nothing to encourage the kind of reform that would have allowed moderate political parties to compete effectively with Brotherhood.
But I, you know, I had Secretary of State Rice when she had her book tour out, and she says that's not true. She goes, we did everything we can, told him, and he just wouldn't listen.
Well, you know, he put Ayman Nour in jail. Basically, Ayman Nour is a Christian and a liberal, and he had the gall to run against Mubarak for president. So they found some charges for putting him in jail. And frankly, I think the U.S. did nothing. And in fact, when Bush was in Cairo, they took any reference to Ayman Nour out of his speech. So I wish the record were better. It's true. Let's be fair. Bush was the first U.S. president to say that this trading freedom for stability was getting us neither freedom nor stability. But I don't think we followed through properly in Egypt.
And right now, we're in a situation where they're not even happy with the leader they got. So maybe they will eventually pick a guy that's going to get their lives better and instill some degree of democracy.
That's exactly why I said the story may not be over yet.
I hope not. You know what I'm amazed at? In my lifetime, I never remember a time when America has not led in hot spots around the world. And I'm watching the French go into Mali, and I'm wondering what you're thinking when you see the French having to take action to stop Al-Qaeda from taking over an entire nation.
Well, I don't mind the French taking on some hard work. It's a good thing. But what is astonishing to me is when they asked for American help to airlift their people, initially we said no. I think eventually we should have been in there telling them, if you're ready to take on this fight, we'll do whatever we can to hold your coat, so to speak. But, you know, President Reagan was pretty well known for the Reagan Doctrine, which basically said we will help people who want to fight the Soviet Union or Soviet Union clients. We'll help them to fight. It's a very good principle, but this administration isn't doing anything like that at all.
How would you characterize this administration?
I think they said it best, leading from behind. It's so far behind that they aren't leading at all.
So in a time in which we're tightening our belts economically and looking to cut the defense budget, what do you think is plausible with the unrest in North Africa and the Middle East has never been as dicey?
I don't have a crystal ball, so I hesitate to predict the future, but I think the dangers of trouble in that broad swath that's all the way from Pakistan to Morocco, the dangers of major trouble are very real. And, of course, we saw 10 years ago what came to us from that part of the world on 9/11.
What kind of Secretary of State do you think that John Kerry will be?
Exactly the kind that Obama wants, which is leading from behind.
Chuck Hagel, as Secretary of Defense, you were in the Pentagon for years. What do you think?
I think it's the same kind of choice. It's a He's chosen for his philosophical alignment with the president, which is let's not lead, let's not even do much to help other people who want to lead, and no notable management skills or serious in-depth knowledge of the Defense Department. He has an admirable war record as a soldier in Vietnam, but that doesn't make you Secretary of Defense.
And as we look at those two who are going to be leading our foreign policy, you got to wonder. I thought about guys like you, Rumsfeld, President Bush, Colin Powell, all the guys who were there during the Iraq War, and especially the people that were there who said, let's double down and do the surge. It worked. There was this time in which Iraq was on the right track, and now we see al-Qaeda's coming back in force. The president of the United States ran on saying over and over again, we left Iraq responsibly. Paul Wolfowitz, did we leave Iraq responsibly?
I don't think we left. I don't think what we did was responsible, and it looks as though we may do the same irresponsible thing in Afghanistan. It's a terrible shame after the enormous effort it took to get to where we were in Iraq and to get to where we are in Afghanistan, albeit it's not a great position, but it's a lot better than will be the case if we go down to zero, as some people in the administration are talking about.
Former Deputy Secretary of Defense, Ambassador to Indonesia, and visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and by the way, who's a great columnist, Paul Wolfowitz, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.